winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul, Lord knows, from winter in America. The Constitution.
We are back. We are back. Dr. Wilmer Leon here inside the Issues is where you are. Sirius XM 126 Urban View. And again, that's Gil Scott-Heron, Winter in America. And we're talking with attorney Richard Bell about some of the legal details surrounding some of the more recent cases that we find ourselves grappling with, protesting against. And when we went into break, Attorney Bell, I was asking, I've been saying for a very long time that since the Warren Court, I think he became Supreme Court Justice in 1960. He was appointed by President Eisenhower, and particularly to deal with the Brown v. Board of Education case. And as a result of Earl Warren, Republican, former governor of California, presumed to be conservative, but he came in and wound up being one of the most liberal justices, particularly Supreme Court justices, in the history of the court. And it seems as though since the Warren Court, every other chief justice has been slowly working to undermine the protections that Warren gave us, the Warren Court gave us. Am I being hyperbolic here or overstating the case?
Oh, that's not hyperbole at all, because the Reuters news came out in early May this year, and they did a study of this use of qualified immunity in cases since 2009. And the police are winning more and more. They win more than half of these on qualified immunity, and these are times that they win the cases early so that they never even get close to trial. So the U.S. Supreme Court is clearly regressed in terms of protecting victims of police brutality. I think that's a fair statement.
And I think the Breonna Taylor case is an example here. The officers were issuing a no-knock warrant. From what I understand, the warrant was bad. They went into the wrong address, and they wind up shooting the place up and killing Breonna Taylor.
Yes.
Now,
this tragedy is a I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. This tragedy is an example of where that case may go one day in the civil rights case, the civil case, because what the police are going to argue is, okay, so even if it was excessive force that we had and it was warrantless, which means we violated the Fourth Amendment, well, you know what? There's not a case out there like this tragic case of Breonna. And so we didn't know we were really violating the law, and then the court could dismiss it. I know it sounds unbelievable to your audience, but worse things have happened in these cases.
But isn't there also an element here that the police now are given a lot more latitude to make mistakes like this, because the logic is, well, they didn't mean to do it. They thought they were operating on a good warrant. They thought they were doing the right thing. So after the Warren Court, where the police were held to a much higher standard to be accurate and to be right, now reasonable mistakes are okay for the police, and they're given a lot more latitude.
Yes. So the court reads in, what would objectively a reasonable officer from his perspective at the time have done to accomplish whatever his purpose was at that time. So we're starting with that already from the officer's perspective. And the bigger problem really becomes that you don't get a lot of these cases, or a majority of these cases anymore, ever to trial, because the court just knocks it out on a motion and says, ah, I really can't find this exact fact pattern. So how did he really know that he was doing something unlawful?
Talk about the importance now of video. Unlike the Rodney King case, the video where we were told not to believe our lying eyes,
Right.
Video now seems to be playing a much more important role in holding these officers accountable. And the case that immediately comes to my mind is the murder of Walter Scott back in 2015, where Michael Schlager, a white North Charleston, South Carolina officer, shot Scott as Scott was running away from the officer. And I want to say that that happened on a Saturday. Sunday morning, the chief of police comes on television, tells us it's a righteous shoot. Monday, the video surfaces. Now, Mr. Schlager is in prison for murder.
Right. So let's look at it like this. So racism in the police brutality sector hasn't changed. What's changed now is we have video, right? Because before Rodney King, we almost never saw a video. Now everybody has a telephone, so there's a chance you can capture it on video.
In fact, let me just jump in real quick and say that could be, and I underscore could be, a major difference between the George Floyd case and the Breonna Taylor case. In George Floyd, we've got it right there in front of us. Breonna Taylor, all we have are the reports by the officers and her boyfriend.
That's completely correct. And I experienced this in one of my civil rights cases where my client was in handcuffs on the ground, 350 pounds, yelling he can't breathe. And this is before Eric Garner, literally yelling those words. And he was a field goal kick by the sheriff's department here in New York, a field goal kick to his head when he was helpless and he couldn't breathe. There was no video, and we simply got lucky. There was someone on a stopped bus who saw it. We tracked them down. They happened to be a legal aid lawyer, and we won the case. Without that, it was his word against them, and it's very likely it would have been dismissed.
Hence, hard to convict a cop, particularly a first-degree murder. But again, so back to the video. The importance of video now is forcing the system to go through its paces, and even with that, we're still not guaranteed that justice will prevail.
Oh, Dr. Land, not only are you not guaranteed, there are so few successful criminal prosecutions, and now, as I told you, in these federal civil rights actions on the civil side, there's big barriers to overcome. So justice right now is an extremely high hurdle, even if you have the video.
And it's the video going now to the Atlanta case. Six police officers, they were charged after allegedly using excessive force. You had two college students, Messiah Young and Tania Pilgrim. They were just stopped at a light after having gone to a protest. And six officers surround their car, force them out, tase them. They're lucky they're alive. This was captured on video. And as a result, two officers were fired on the spot. Now all six have been charged. And again, this is, again, because it was filmed, we now have, so it then becomes more difficult to just give deference to the word of the officers.
Right. So obviously, in the vast majority of the cases, you don't have video. So you start very far behind the line in both the criminal aspect and the civil aspect. And even with the ones with video, we've talked about some of the defenses that go on here. And you mentioned something that everybody needs to understand. The jury system is composed of people, and it's composed of people in different cities with different demographics. And that can become a very big problem, as we saw with Rodney King. And I don't know if your audience remembers this, Eric Garner, who was choked
mm-hmm.
to death.
Mm-hmm.
The Staten Island grand jury did not even indict the policeman. Forget about conviction. He wasn't indicted.
We'll close with this, my opinion, and I would like for you to respond. The problem that we have, we keep hearing about systemic. If you understand the history of police departments, particularly in the South, starting as slave catching operations, where people were sworn. They had badges that said slave patrol.
Mm-hmm.
The perception in this country is the officers are there to protect and serve. But who are they there to protect and serve? They are there to protect and serve. In the minds of most white Americans, they're there to protect and serve them against us. And so when you go into the jury room and those jurors look at, I got to trust this cop because this cop is here to protect me against that black man that they're saying is guilty, I'm going to trust the cop.
And that is the essence of the barrier you have with certain juries. And to tell you that it only happens when it's the police and it's a brutality case would be incorrect, because it happens in a regular automobile case or a slip and fall case when you have an African-American plaintiff and you may have an all-white jury and there might be some kind of race dynamic going on. It doesn't matter. What matters is that people are coming in with biases and a perspective that's distorted many times.
Attorney Richard Bell, thank you so much. You're so gracious with your time, so clear with your explanations and analysis, man. Thank you. I've got you in the Rolodex now. You're going to say, Dr. Leon, please stop calling me.
No, keep calling me. Keep calling me. It's sad that this is how we meet, but it's very important we talk about it.
Again, Attorney Richard Bell, how can people who need to contact you, is there a website? How do people get you?
Yes, it's RichardCBellESQ.com.
Richard C as in Charles Bell?
Yes, BellESQ.com.
Again, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you going inside the issues. Look forward to having you back.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. Please stay with me for 1 second here. Folks, Dr. Wilmer Leon here. Inside the Issues is where you are. Sirius XM 126, Urban View, Winter in America. The late, great Gil Scott-Heron. Do yourselves a favor. Keep it locked right here. There is more on the other side.
Never had a chance to grow home. Never had a chance to grow, and now it's winter.